Okay, we're continuing in the Tanya with the commentary of the Chassidus Mevo'eres, Perek Yud Beis. We're on page Kuf Chaf Tes. We're in the middle of discussing, there are three levels of people, Tzadikim, Rishayim, and Beinonim. And we're in the middle of discussing this chapter on the Beinonim, the person in between. And where we said, as opposed to the Tzadik, whose godly soul totally rules his being, and the animalistic soul has been totally nullified, and it's just not there. And if even a tzaddik varala, it's just a little fraction of the animalistic soul, but he can't even feel it. There's no interest at all. As opposed to the rasha, whose animalistic soul does control him, and it's very challenging, controls the godly soul. The Beinoni, we said, is sort of in between. Where the Beinoni, the godly soul is very strong. He really doesn't want to do any averos. However, he has not been able to take the animalistic soul and turn it on to the godly side. And the animalistic soul still exists and is there. And one has to concern oneself with it, because it hasn't surrendered the battle, so to speak, and can always come back. Although now it's kind of quiet, but it can come back to fight another day. And that was basically what we're up to in the Beinoni. And we're in the fine print on page Kuf Chav Tes. Oh yes, and we also spoke last week at great length about there's opportunities where the godly soul can rise and soar by the Beinoni. And when was that? During the times of the Shema and the Shemone Esrei, where the big brains of the spiritual realm shower down into people who want to get big brains as well. And that enables your seichel, your intellect, which is the seat of the godly soul, to be very expansive at this time. And it becomes so powerful, it's as if the animalistic soul has been put to sleep,
Is the same thing on Shabbos?
Well, we'll see when we get to Shabbos. Shabbos is another one of those days, but we have to wait to get to that. But that's true. Shabbos also is a day, as we learned in the Rosetta Shabbos class, is a day where you have the Neshama Yisera, the extra soul, and the clarity is very strong as well. So correct. That's the same idea, but Tanya's not up to that yet. We'll have to wait till he talks about Shabbos, but that's true. Okay, now we're in the fine print on page Kuf Chaf Tes. Zeu Iker, yes. So at that point, when he says the Shema, at that point, at least during the Shema, the godly soul is sole ruler of the body. And the animalistic soul that still would like to contend with it is, so to speak, put asleep. Small print now. And this is the main reason why, even regarding the Beinoni, it's totally broken and negated, totally, any aspect of doing a sin. Kenisko, as we mentioned earlier. Why? Begadlos Hashem, since by the Shema, the Beinoni is able to connect the three levels of his intellect to the greatness of Hashem and to get the big brains. Umores ha'ava karish be'esh b'chalal ha'yemini shebelibo, and it arouses the love for Hashem like fiery coals into the right ventricle of the heart. Mideyom v'yom, every single day b'tfilos. In other words, every day. A person with a Shema every day properly, and Shemone Esrei every day properly, you're on fire daily, a daily dose of fire, and the soul really becomes big. So now what happens? This is provided that the Beinoni does this every day. The Beinoni has to say Shema every day. He's going to shul every day. If you're not going to shul, he ain't a Beinoni. You see, because the HR has convinced you not to daven in shul, so then you become a Rasha. So Russia's need not apply for this, you know. But the Beinoni is doing all the mitzvahs, right? And so he is saying the Shema, he is saying the Shemone Esrei. And he is, the big brains are opening up into him. That's part and parcel of being a Beinoni. It's not just, you know, I decided I'm going to have a lot of kavona during davening. No, the Beinoni is always that way. So every morning, and every night for that matter,
every night,
his heart's on fire with love for Hashem. So what is that going to do for you? By doing that at Shema, he now reveals and strengthens the good that is in the godly soul, in the brains and in the heart, akidikach, to such a point, shigam lachar tfila, etzem atov shel nafsho lokis, so once you had such a fiery morning at the shul, even after davening, the essential good of the godly soul that's found in the brain and in the right ventricle will not be weakened at all. And will not be having to bend itself before the animalistic soul. That's why the animalistic soul does not have the power to spread throughout the body in the rest of the day. So you see, this is a critical point. What keeps the godly soul from surrendering to the animal soul? The animal soul is still there and it's still strong. How come the animal soul doesn't win from time to time? The answer is because the godly soul has been strengthened every day. You know, if you have a great experience in the morning connecting to Hashem, well, the residual effect, it's like these, you know, these cold pills, right? You could take one, it gives you 12 hours worth of protection, right? Whatever they are.
Time release,
whatever, right? And take one in the morning, one at night, twice a day. So the biggest pill for a godly soul is Shman Shmon Esrei. It gets a release. The brains get big again. And that lasts you for about 12 hours till the night time.
Mincha's
a booster, yeah. And but then at night again, boom, comes with another big blast. And that keeps you till you go to bed at night. So those two things, that's why it's so critical. You find, as we mentioned in the halacha this week, that therefore it's better if you have to daven early or you got to work. Let's say you got to work early before the sun comes up. We said there's lenient opinions that let you say the Shema and the Shmoneh Esrei after dawn, after Los HaShachrim, though that's not the optimal time. But better to do that before, if you're going to work and do other things, you shouldn't work before you say Shema and Shmoneh Esrei, because work is already the world of the animalistic soul. That's his home turf, as it were. So now you want to come with that fire before you get into animalistic soul, gets its energy from the work.
That was Tuesday's class.
So that's why it's critical. The Shema Shmoneh Esrei has an unbelievable effect on the Beinoni to keep him a Beinoni for the rest of the day.
Is that part of restriction of eating before davening?
So all of that, nothing, all the world the animal soul is comfortable in, it's his home turf, is eating and working,
earning money,
and all that stuff, where you don't have to fall to the animalistic soul, but he's in a good place. Yeah. It's his home turf to take you down. So if you come with a blast, you put your soul, godly soul, on fire before you come in to work, then the work will be neutralized, so to speak, from the fire that's still maybe you're up to 1,000 degrees fire during Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, it goes down to 980.
Well, isn't it sort of like a Teflon? So a lot of the stuff will slide off so afterwards.
Right. So that's what's keeps you going. So it's a critical component to the Beinoni is the Shema and Shmoneh Esrei that he says. Yeah.
So why in 770 in New York they daven Shacharit all day? There?
You'll have to ask them that. Well, it could be their you know, to go to the mikvah is an important thing that takes them a long time.
You got to remember, if you're a real chassid, there's a difference.
Then you're doing hispodidus. You're doing hispodidus for an hour. A real chassid,
2-3 hours.
A real chassid is 1 hour of hispodidus.
Well, just before tefillah is the hispodidus. You got to think. You got to sit there an hour before, an hour afterwards.
But a real Lubavitcher just doesn't wake up at 9:45 and then just walk in.
He's up at 6.
You have neo Lubavitchers, friends of Lubavitch, who like the leniencies of sleeping in light, but not the stringencies of an hour of hispodidus beforehand. You understand? So if you're doing an hour of hispodidus, and you're doing going to the mikvah, and you're saying different tehillim and this and that, well, you haven't gone into the world of the animalistic soul at all. You want the fire to be even higher. So they feel, okay, once you're doing that, that's already part of your Sman Tefillah.
Right.
But, you know, people come to the Saturday morning minyan that starts at 10 o'clock. It's after the Zman Shacharis, you know, just by stepping out of bed. They totally are not, that's totally not the way it should be done.
That's
you could speak to Chabad, they'll tell you more about why they passed the time. Anyway, let's look at the last two lines of the fine print. Ulam kvifus ubitul harash shabachal asmoli elatov shabachal amini esabani hurach beis tefillah. However, the total subjugation and nullification of the in the left ventricle, where the animalistic soul is, it's only neutralized by the Benoni only during the Shema and the Shemone Esrei. That's the only time it's neutralized. It's just sleeping. Once you finish, it's awake now, but it's not going to bother you. It's not going to bother you. That's the difference. Next page says the Tanya. Avolachar atfil, but once you're finished with Shemone Esrei, right, Pistalkus Hamochan the godless and so forth, the big brains from Hashem are leaving you then. They leave you because that wind of opportunity is only through the Shemone Esrei. You finish the Shema and Shemone Esrei. Now that energy of the big brains is gone. Hare hara chozer v'ner kechol asmali. Now the evil and the animalistic soul in the left ventricle, it wakes up. It finally got up. Umisava taiva latava samaseva tanukav. Now the animalistic soul has its desires. That doesn't necessarily mean you will acknowledge those desires. It's just the animalistic soul is there. He's awake. He has his desires. You still got a lot of fire. It's still a lot of heat, which will not acknowledge that desire, but the desire is there from the animalistic soul. Explains the Chassidus Mevoreres. Ze shebe'eis hatfila in arav shebechlal asmali misar b'shum taivon tuvelam zev. This fact that the animalistic soul does not arouse itself for any physical pleasure in this world. Hurak machmas his galus b'chinas among the galus. That's only because the big brains have been revealed. Shalein sof baruchos omala. When you're blown away by Hashem revealing the incredibly mature intellect that comes pouring into you, shuasiyua melamala. That's the help from above. Shigam hamochen shalodim lamada, and that comes in and infuses. It goes into your human brain below. Yevachin is godless, v'tokav. It's got that aspect of greatness and power. And it arouses a love for Hashem to be on fiery coals. So now the evil in the left ventricle is nullified to the good. Because there's so much good, powerful brain wattage that's coming into you. But once you take your 3 steps back and you're finished with the Shemone Esrei, where the big brains from above are leaving, they don't openly reveal themselves anymore into the soul of the person. Now the Beinoni goes back to the normal level that he usually is, which is what? What is it by the Beinoni? That the 10 aspects, the characteristics of the spheros that are within the individual, they don't solely rule the small city of the human being. They're not the only ones ruling anymore. Lefika, therefore, harasha nefesh abahemis chozer v'nir b'mokam shmishkano b'chol asmoni le'savas l'nyanim gashmi. Therefore, the animalistic soul in the left ventricle wakes up from its slumber and now has its normal desires that the animalistic soul has. Then it's possible for the Beinoni to feel desires in his heart for the pleasures of this world. So that's the respite you have, Ishman Shemone Esrei, where it builds up strong, but then once you're done, the animalistic soul does wake up and is potentially dangerous.
I'm just want to clarify the residual benefit that you get.
He's going to talk about more in the next chapter.
So it sounds like you're back to where you started.
But no, you're not back where you started. No. That you have the ability, well, yeah, because you've, where have you started? It's a virtuous circle. You started on a level where you're not going to sin because you said Shema yesterday.
You know, need that pumping.
That's right. If you don't, the Beinoni, it's critical for him to Shema. This explains why you have the famous Gemaras that talk about people like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and others, who say, you know, they didn't daven much.
No.
You know, if you guys want an excuse not to go to davening, you say, I'm no different than Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon, the Gemara would say, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, maybe I'll say Shema.
He did say Shema. You know,
but that's it. He just did Shema. Say Shema. He said, but a lot of times he wouldn't daven. He doesn't need to daven. He's already destroyed the animal soul. He's already a tzaddik gomor.
Tzaddik gomor.
He doesn't need, for him it's a waste of time to daven. It's a waste of time. Because what he can accomplish in his Torah learning is unbelievable, way beyond what he could do in his davening. The Beinoni must have the Shema and the Shema. You gotta have it. You gotta get those brains pumped. But the Tzaddik, Vitovlo, the brains are pumped. They're big all the time. The brains are big all the time. So therefore, what does he need to daven for? And even what does that say? Just the first line, Shema Yisrael, okay, he has to be like every other Jew. It's a biblical mitzvah. He has to say it.
Yes.
But to spend oodles and oodles of time dealing with davening and all that, he can accomplish more with his learning.
So this is almost like Yom Kippur, where the tzaddik who's been judged favorably doesn't really need.
So to speak. So that's the difference. But the Beinoni, he has to constantly re-energize his brain. Because if he was, it was always re-energized, he'd already be a tzaddik. But the fact that the animalistic soul is still strong, existing, you need a counter to that twice a day, so that the animalistic soul doesn't have a chance to overpower it.
So if you don't, then you turn it
so
down.
That's why a Beinoni, davening, and Shema are critical for him to stay a Beinoni.
But even if you're not at the Beinoni level, which is most of us, it's even more important to think
about it. It is, but it's going to be harder to get yourself aroused because the animalistic soul is already not just potentially, it's got you thinking a lot of things.
But you need the clarity in the morning.
You need it, but it's a lot harder to get it. When you're thinking about Narishkeit, when the animalistic soul is ruling, it's hard for you to say, okay, now imagine you're thinking about, you know, this weekend, who's going to go to the Super Bowl. That's a very, very important thing for some people. This is like totally on your mind. It's like, yeah, whatever. The playoffs. The big playoffs.
Hockey?
You know, it's hockey starting. So if this stuff's like in your mind and you're, you know, ma hafti, es a hockey, kol hayom misi chasik. I talk about all this time, so that, you know, when you come to Shema, you're not even going to be thinking about the Shema. You're saying, oh no, I'm going to start thinking about the Shema. It's not so simple for that to happen. The Beinoni, who doesn't really feel the tug and the urge of the animalistic soul, it's there, but it's in potential. It hasn't really come out. So he can come to a Shema and a Shema Nesrei that he really can make it happen. But the Russia, it's going to be very hard. All of a sudden he's going to start having kavana. He needs to do big tshuva. He needs to do big tshuva. That's the only way. Then he can maybe start to daven, but it's not easy.
But if you look according to the Rebbe, the whole world are Russians except for a couple of few Benonis.
Remember, this book was for the Beinoni. The tzaddik doesn't need this book. He's way beyond this. But the Beinoni, see, he hasn't even told the Beinoni what to do yet. Remember, these first 12, 13 chapters is just intro to understand principles of existence. Just like Lutzaro did, right? So the same thing, they want to see what is the avodah of the Beinoni based on who he is. But clearly you see, Shema and Shema Nesrei is a very critical part of being a Beinoni.
There's a continuum of Rasha, though.
Yes, there's a continuum. So we're all on that continuum of Rashaim, right? And now we hope to, we're trying to be this Beinoni.
And the further along you are, the more impactful Shema and Shema Nesrei can be.
Yes. Okay, let's move on to Kuf Lamed Beis.
Can we do the little thing at the bottom? The little note at the bottom, or you don't want to do it?
Oh, I didn't do that?
No.
I thought I did it. I didn't say this? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. Thank you. Okay, bottom Kuf Lamed. What comes out of everything we've been learning from the beginning of this chapter until now? Shematsova Pnimi Shel HaBeinoni. What is the inner situation of the Beinoni in regards to his battling the souls over here? He's in between a tzaddik and a Russian. Me tzaddikar on the one hand, yesh levushei nafsho haloki shlita malei alaver guf. We talk about the garments of the soul, meaning in terms of what you actually say, think, and do. Those are the garments of the soul. What you actually do, that we say the godly soul is ruling still, because you are only thinking, saying, and doing good things. He has banished the garments of the soul being affected by the animalistic soul. He doesn't do Averis, doesn't think Averis, doesn't say Averis. He's done that. There's no sins. Regardless if it's stay away or do positive, it ain't there. See, he's coming on time for davening. He's having a good Shema and Shmonesrei. There's no problems there. Right? And in that way, he's like the tzaddik, overtly. In other words, in the external view, when you see a tzaddik and Baroni in shul, and whatever they do, they're doing mitzvahs the same way. Exact same way. So what's the difference? On the other hand, the animalistic soul in the left ventricle has not been nullified at all. It's still there with all the potential danger that it's there. It really wants, the left heart, the left ventricle, wants the pleasures of this world. But it's not able to actualize it in any way of thought, speech, and action. It's in your, well, we'll call it your sub-heart. Instead of use with subconscious. You know, it's like, it is a subconscious. It's there somewhere. But it hasn't been allowed to be released and to escape. It's not ever there. So in that way, it's like the Russia. Why? Because the Russia has a very powerful animalistic soul. But the Russia, the animalistic soul, rules. By the Benoni, it doesn't rule at all. But it's there. And it's a potentially dangerous situation. Now you can imagine what happens if a person would forget to say Shema one day.
Oh boy.
We're going to go to shul one day. That's going to be a big danger to the Benoni's ability to retain his Benoni status. Because now he doesn't have that residual effect. And that's where the Benoni can slip into being a Russia very easily. Because you're dealing with a volatile animalistic soul that's powerful. Just waiting. Give me an opportunity. And I will take over. You know, so it's just like any other, you imagine, you people, you know, overthrow countries and the dictator has been thrown and banished in somewhere in the Virgin Islands. You know, but he's still around.
Yeah.
Little cells within the country.
Yeah.
Little cells in the country. Just waiting for you to, you know, not lapse in security.
Yeah, the
Ayatollah we decided not to check planes now, from now. Things are a lot better. Huh. Just one day, don't check. Boom, the plane will blow up the next day. So that's the same thing. You got to always be on guard for it. Let's just begin the next section. Section Gimel. Page Kuf, Lamed Beis. So let's just look at the fine print over here. Fine print says, in the brackets, once we've now explained that after davening is over for the Benoni, the godly soul has no dominion over the animalistic soul, over the essence of the animalistic soul, Shem Midas Haros, meaning the bad character, L'chein Hara Chozer V'Nir Mesal Taiva, therefore the evil reawakens and wants, Yamshich Levar, you now explain, Kesa B'Chozos Manslicha B'Rili Skarbel Tavos Libo B'Meshach Kol Yinkol. Now he's going to explain, so how, now that the animalistic soul is woken up, how is the godly soul able to overcome it? Actually, Olam Enra Gover, to the point where he says, the evil never overpowers. How does it not happen? By the tzaddik, the animalistic soul is long. It's gone. It's out.
It's banished.
But here, it's still powerful. It's powerful. So how is he able to avoid it coming back and attacking and beating him? Once davening's over, how does that happen? So it continues the Tani himself. The problem is, the animalistic soul is not the only one ruling in the city. Or rather, the animalistic soul is not the only one ruling. There he's not able to let his taivas come out from potential to actual. To be enclothed in the body's limbs. To actually speak, think, or say anything that's bad. Explains the chassidism for us. Even though, by the Benoni, after davening the essential evil that resides in the left ventricle is not surrendered to godliness, but it's back to wanting the pleasure of this world. Since the animal soul does not have the only rulership, so therefore the godly soul has the power to stop it. In other words, the animalistic soul is not the only ruler. He wakes up, the animalistic soul wakes up, and says, okay, I want to have some fun. But yeah, but there's a godly soul that doesn't want you to have fun.
Oh boy.
And the godly soul stops you. And the godly soul is strong, because he just finished Shman Shmon Esrei. Let's continue in the Bala Tanya. So now, he can't do that. It's not able to get you to think deeper about pleasures of this world. How can I fulfill what I want? In other words, the animal soul will win if it's able to get, start thinking about it and dreaming about it and what do you call it? Imagining. That's, remember, the Yetzer Hara's biggest tool is dimayon, is imagination.
Fantasy.
Imagine how great it would be if I could do this. It would be amazing.
Just imagine.
Like the story I said on Tuesday at the Parsha class, the girl had the good voice, and she has a good voice, says, "Ooh, they offered me a contract to sing in front of the opera." She's imagining the coveted fame. Everyone's gonna, she's a firm girl. She wanted to join the opera. This was in Vienna before the war. She wanted to join the opera. And the Rebbe said, "Why do you want it? You know what kind of fame I'll have?" The Yetzer was playing all kinds of games with her, because the Yetzer was strong. She said, "You're gonna have fame and fortune, this and that. How can you not want that?" Right? But by the Beinoni, it's not able to dream.
Can't even get there.
It's not even that state. Says the Chassidim verse, Ha'amr Leil, that's what we said earlier, She'esal Beinoni, Ein Ara Yochel Otzi Estavoso, V'koich La'pol, Afil Mach Shovat, where he said the Beinoni, now, here seems to be a problem. He says, where he said by the Beinoni, doesn't allow the evil to come out at all in thought, speech, and action, but even in thought. But you gotta remember, what kind of thoughts? Real thoughts. The Beinoni is strong enough that you don't meditate on the evil you want to do. The evil, even though you got an animalistic soul, but it's not able to, okay, I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes dreaming about what Avera I could do. That cannot happen in a Beinoni. But what can happen, next page, Klomar, but don't think it can take care of pop-ups. Pop-ups. That's what you learn from the computer, guys. These pop-ups. Just like there's a pop-up computer, all of a sudden in the middle of a nice class, all of a sudden pops up something in your brain. Where does that come from? That the Beinoni cannot stop pop-ups. That's what he explains the next thing. Klomar.
They have the
Klomar. But even Lahalan, that's for Tzaddik.
Oh, okay.
Lahalan, where later we're going to learn as the parak goes on. There's two types of thoughts. Two types of thoughts. That's just pop up. I wasn't thinking about it. Just came. I didn't want it. Then there's thoughts he's really thinking about. It. He's developing. I really want to think about what I heard yesterday. He developed it. And he explains, even a Beinoni, bad thoughts can just pop up. Because there is evil in your heart. In other words, where does a pop-up come from? I'm in the middle of Davening Shemoneh Esrei. All of a sudden a pop-up. I'm on the subway. Pop-up. Why? Because the animalistic soul is still strong. So it could send pop-ups to you. Right? They come from himself. You can't stop it. But the Beinoni doesn't intentionally try to think about it. That's the difference. He does. If it pops up, he pushes it out. He doesn't say, "Oh, that was an interesting pop-up. Let me see. Let me click on the pop-up." No, out. Delete. Don't want that anymore. That's malicious site. That's what the Rebbe means. The evil doesn't have what ability? Etc. He says the animal soul does not have the power to think really, deeply these thoughts. By the Beinoni, that too is gone. You don't develop these thoughts. To deepen your thoughts intentionally, particularly about the pleasure of this world. How to do this. That's what the Beinoni has. So if you have pop-ups, you can still be a Beinoni. But when you develop pop-ups and think about pop-ups, then you know you're not a Beinoni. Now it's much more than that. Okay,
but you told it once a lesson a few weeks ago. You said the tzaddik still has an animalistic soul, tiny little bit.
You know? Yeah, but he doesn't feel it. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a big cholent pot, one drop of milk fell in. Okay. Does it have any effect on the cholent pot? It's totally nullified. The different tzaddik. That's a tzaddik varalo.
Yeah,
that's a tzaddik who has a drop, but the drop is a little. It has no power. It can't even do anything. It's there, but nothing. It's totally surrendered. By the Beinoni, the evil's strong, but it would like to pop up, and it can pop up. That explains the pop-ups.